Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
Coming up, the much-anticipated Shadows of Mordor. Also, Neverending Nightmares, Five Nights at Freddy's, and a look at some upcoming games. So, big news this week was Middle-Earth Shadows of Mordor finally came out September 30th. And did we all have a chance to play that?
I think we all did. Yeah. This is one of the rare times where, where everybody played the game that we were supposed to play. Did it live up to the hype? I think so.
Should we describe what it is first?
Sure.
Who developed this?
This was developed by Monolith. Now, they've developed quite a few games. The one that stands out to me was Fear 1 and Fear 2. Fear 1 I loved. Fear 2 I played very little of, but not quite as good.
And who did the Batman? That was Rocksteady, right?
That was Rocksteady. Although the publisher for Middle Earth is Warner Bros. They've done all the Batman games.
Interesting. I wonder how many notes they passed down to the public. Because
yeah.
If there's one way to describe this game, it's Batman in Mordor. That's all it is. And that's not a bad thing. Batmans are some of the best, well-done games ever. This is a fantasy look at a Batman game, basically. It's great. I really, really enjoyed it.
It pulls some from Assassin's Creed also.
Yeah, there's some of that in there.
But, yeah, if you could... the best way I could say to describe it would be Batman meets Assassin's Creed in Middle-Earth.
And if you haven't played Batman, play it, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, this even has, what do you call it, detective mode?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it borrows a lot from a few games, most of that being from Assassin's Creed and Batman. Now, it's good that you mentioned detective mode. That was kind of a little overpowered, I think, in the first Batman game,
Arkham Asylum. You would never, like, get out of Batman detective mode.
There was absolutely no reason to turn it off.
Yeah.
So I was glad in Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor when they kind of nerfed that a little bit. You can see enemies anywhere they are on the map. You can see points of interest, like barrels that you can blow up. But you can't see objects like walls or rocks or things like that. Unless they're directly in front of you. So you can't keep this on all the time. It's something you turn on to scout out an area, and then you turn it back off. So I'm really glad they made that change.
Yeah, so like in Batman, it would be, you can see everything plus objects of interest. Now it's only object of interest, and that's bad because you don't know what the fuck's going on. Oh, you can see enemies as well.
Yeah.
That
helps. I think I want to preface this by saying, even though we're saying it pulls heavily from a lot of games, that's not a negative thing.
It's not a negative thing.
Like, if you do that well, if you take that and add to it and leave the core of what it's about, like, that's not a bad thing in my mind. So, I'm not giving it any negative points for saying it's Batman in Shadow and Middle-Earth.
And what is art but just inspirations from a bunch of other people and that you put them together in your way, really?
Yeah.
You know, had this game only been that, I would have not liked it nearly as much. I gotta admit, if it had just been Batman and Assassin's Creed with a Lord of the Rings theme, I wouldn't have liked it as much at all. But what really sets this apart is the Nemesis system. And I guess the best way to explain this is it's almost like they take 20 to 25 randomly generated enemies and spread them out over the map, and they have varying levels of power. Some of them are captains, some of them are war chiefs, and you can fight these guys. They're like little mini bosses, really. And when you kill them, you can gain lots of XP, runes, and they, whatever you do with them, whatever interactions you have with them, and there's quite a few, they remember it. And their dialogue changes
even when they kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if you kill them, because they come back to life.
If they're not beheaded, then they can come back. And they look different, and they also have different strengths and weaknesses. Let's talk about the plot just a little bit. There's not a whole lot to describe here, but you play as a guy named Talion. He's a ranger who dies guarding the Black Gate of Mordor, but is resurrected with wraith-like abilities. And this takes place between The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. And everything's supposed to be canon. Like, it's supposed to match up. There are a few characters like Gollum who are in this. but it's a lot of new characters, but everything is supposed to match up.
And let's call him who he is. He's Aragorn. It's exactly him.
Yeah, I mean he's a former ranger.
He's a ranger. He's got two swords. He carries two swords. Yeah. He carries the broken sword. I mean, it's Aragorn for sure. In every sense except for name, really.
Yeah.
The way I looked at it. And I just kind of felt like I was just thrown in to the game. Like, I didn't know what the fuck was going on for the first, I'm going to be honest, like 20 minutes. I don't know what the fuck is going on. Where am I? There was, like, no context. It went from, like, a flashback to you're behind the black gate inside of the camp of the orcs. But I didn't know how I got there or... And there's these towers, and there wasn't really a lot of context for those either. But little gripes. Overall, really good game. I don't think the Nemesis system was as robust as I thought it was going to be. I would say it was just a little bit let down. It's still very cool. Very cool mechanic. Really like it. I just thought it was going to be... I think I expected a little bit more. But
you know what? On that note, though, the Nemesis system, I don't know how far you made it through the game, but it completely changed about... 10 or 11 hours into the game, when I reached the second map and I could actually brand enemies, which is where you mind control them and you can send them to either threaten or to assassinate or to infiltrate, the game completely changed.
That's awesome. I was waiting for that ability. I didn't know when it was going to come.
Well, when they were advertising this game, they really pushed that, and it was a big selling point. And I was surprised that it came so late in the game. It literally came maybe the last 25% of the game. And like I said, you got to get at least 10 hours into it before... Well, I don't know. Maybe if you play faster than I did. I did a lot of side quests. But you have to play quite a bit until you get to that point.
Maybe it's a good thing to have a little... Something a little, you know, things could get stale. Maybe if you have something, a fresh new mechanic at the last 25%, that'll keep you playing. It kept you playing.
Yeah, yeah.
How often do you finish a game these days?
I always finish a game. Not this quickly.
Did you guys feel like it was, like, I haven't put in as much time as you two have in this game, but to me, it feels a little overwhelming with all the different ways that you can power your guy up. Because there's, like, skill trees, and then there's, like, this... What is it called? Mirin?
Well, you have abilities. When you get XP, you get ability points, and you can spend those either on ranger abilities or wraith abilities. And then you also have a perk system where you can spend... it's, like, M. The icon is an M, and you can spend...
Mirin.
It's like mithril.
It's close to mithril.
And you can spend that on perks that make you stronger. But then they also have weapons. You have three weapons, and you can upgrade them by giving them runes.
Yeah, it just seemed like a lot of... Like, it's cool, and I'm sure once I get into the game more, then I'll be able to understand it. But just, they unlocked everything at the beginning. Like, it would have been nice that would have been, here's your point first, let's spend a couple points here. Then, okay, here's this other thing that you can do with the runes... And now you can start doing that.
I totally agree. It was a little confusing. And I mean, I'm 6 or 7 hours deep, and I'm just starting to, like, really understand what I'm trying to do. I really want to make myself an archer, and there don't seem to be a lot of archer abilities. And I'm doing the thing where I'm saving my points to get down to the next tier because there's stuff that I want. So I'm figuring. I got it figured out now. But yeah, I wouldn't say the UI is the best ever.
I didn't find it that confusing, honestly, for an RPG game, because I'm so used to RPG games having 15 different item slots. It's like, what do you want for your gauntlet? What do you want for your chest piece? Right. What do you want for your underwear? You know, there's like 15 to 20 different item slots, and then you got 20 different weapons with gem slots, and, you know, it just is a little overcomplicated. I found this to be a little more on the simple side. But, yeah, they don't let you unlock a lot of the bottom-tier stuff right away. It took me forever to get down there. And one complaint I did have about this game is that you really can't differentiate your character. I didn't feel like you could go down a path where you favored range attacks like archery, or you could go down a melee path, or you could go down the wraith path.
Dude, half the guys are immune to arrows. Half the, you know, that was tough.
And they're not true arrows anyways, right? The only arrows that you're actually shooting are the...
It's like spirit arrows
or whatever. Wraith arrows or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, a little bit on the graphics. I'd say they're above average. They look great. I did download the HD texture pack, and I didn't notice much of a difference. I had a lot of trouble running this game at first, though. It would lag. I had to restart at some points.
It's weird, Bobby, because you have the monster rig, and you seem to run into the most problems.
Well, this game doesn't support SLI. I had to go into the NVIDIA control panel and force it to use SLI, and that solved a little bit of the problems. But if you go into the settings, the advanced options, it says if you want to use the ultra-definition textures, it needs a video card with 6 gigs of RAM. 6 gigs of RAM is, like, a lot. I think the Titan is the only one that I can think of that uses 6 gigs. There's probably others. But mine, for instance, only has 2. So I had to set that on medium. But for everything that this game asks for, as far as, like, the graphic settings, I was kind of surprised at how they looked.
Yeah. I played everything on maximum settings, and I didn't have a single stutter. And, yeah, I mean, I wasn't, like, taken aback by the beauty of the game. Because it's one of these things that Chad, I finally agree with him. It's just so drab. But what would an orc camp look like? Yeah. It's a bunch of mud, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's not a pretty game in the sense that there's nothing pretty to look at. It's fucking mud and orcs and shit. And literal shit. Oh, I didn't even know we're watching a little video of it. I didn't even know you could shoot those. So there's these, like...
The Caragors.
Caragors, yeah. They're a really cool mechanic. I really enjoyed those things. They're like these big monster, like dog bears.
Yeah, they're like the dogs from the end of Ghostbusters.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? They're pretty much those. But yeah, you can ride those. That was actually a lot of fun, riding those. You can even ride the Grogs, the giant beasts, near the end when you do some of the hunting missions.
Yeah, I saw the unlock for that. I'm like, oh man, I haven't seen one of those yet.
One of the things that I thought was cool is, like, you'll start, like, picking flowers to regain your health, and then they'll have, like, survival, like, quests that kind of... Not quests, but they're kind of like...
Like, you achievements?
Catch, yeah, kinda, yeah, yeah, yeah. You get pick 3 flowers, basically, and you get, like, bonus XP, or kill 3 spiders, and you get... Like, it was kind of...
You know how I killed those spiders, dude? I never went and hunted them down. I just ran them over, on accident, though. 2 of them, and then I shot the 3rd.
The whole gathering herbs to restore your health, I thought... I didn't have a problem with it, but I just thought it was kind of funny because I'd get into these fights and I'd get beat up a little bit, and it's like I'm fighting with all these orcs, and then all of a sudden my guy is just like, oh shit, I'm 100%. Low on health, and you got to run behind a rock, and ooh, daisies.
Yeah.
It's just like, it seems so strange that I got to run and grab these things. There's no potions. There's no healing spells. You gotta pick flowers. That's how you get your health back.
These and the orcs give up chase quick. I mean, you just take, I don't know, 10 yards? And they're like, too much work. Hmm. Oh, speaking of which, the banter. You would think that the banter would get repetitive and old. Maybe, Bobby, you played the whole game, so it must have gotten by then. But I heard the same thing a few times, but in general, for the amount of banter that I heard, it was... I didn't get annoyed. And it was... sometimes they said stuff that was kind of entertaining and stuff. The only thing I didn't like about the banter is it seemed like it always wanted to play banter. And you didn't know how far those orcs were.
Yeah.
So you think they're right around at some points, you can tell where orcs are by them talking. And then another time, it's just banter being played. And you're like, oh, they're going to be right here. But they're not, you know? And so...
Are you guys playing it mostly stealthy or mostly just aggressive, go and kill?
I play it as aggressive as I can, but it forces you to do a lot of missions in stealth, including the final boss fight. Well, part of it has to be done in stealth, which I thought was kind of lame. The final boss fight was terrible. That is the worst part about this game. It was such a huge letdown.
What did you guys think of you played all the way through. What did you think of the story? Was the story impactful?
I thought it was
okay. Because it starts off right with a bang, right?
Yeah,
I mean your wife and child die, like, right off the bat, and you die technically. So I was just wondering if the story is pulling you along emotionally at all, or if it just turns into a slugfest.
Honestly, I didn't care much, but I'm really not into the whole Lord of the Rings universe. If someone is, then a lot of this stuff is going to match up. You know, Sauron's in there, Gollum's in there. There's going to be a lot to like if you are into that genre, but I never really got into that. I'm not super into fantasy either, so I didn't get pulled in personally, but that's not to say that the story wasn't there. It was bad.
Yeah. And The lore definitely is there if you are interested in that.
There's a lot of stuff.
Pages and pages of of all sorts of stuff. Every time you pick a flower, it gives you, you know, a page worth of.
I thought the audio recordings were nice touch. I listen to them all. I don't usually listen to them all. You know, the, when you find the artifacts. Mm-hmm. And I just listened. I don't know. They were just well done, well acted. It sounded like clips from the movies.
Yeah,
honestly.
I mean, you were complaining that Andy Serkis wasn't in this.
I thought it was
Andy Serkis that did Golem. I mean, I thought this was Andy Serkis because it sounded like Golem to me.
But this guy sounds way off.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounded fine to me. I thought the voice acting in general was really, really well done.
No, I think so too.
I mean, given that the dialogue changes with these nemesis that you encounter, it can change depending on what happens and all these different things affect it. They had to record so much.
The orcs sounded awesome. The orc captains, mm-hmm. the probably the best voice actors.
Uriks, you mean?
Uriks, yeah.
I thought they were called Uruk-hai in the movies.
Maybe that's plural.
I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
But the voice of the main character, Talion, is actually Troy Baker, which we talked a lot about
the voice stud of video gaming.
Him and Nolan North, right? They pretty much run the whole male...
Yeah.
Male
and
characters.
Scoring no pussy from it. I'm a voice actor on video games. Go fuck yourself.
I'm fairly certain they're scoring more than you are.
That's rather, well, that's easy.
So overall, you guys happy with your $50 spent?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I mean, for the production value, and for sure.
And you guys didn't buy the season pass. You guys just bought the straight up.
Yeah.
I'm almost completely... I don't pick up any DLC.
I'm usually over a game by the time the game is done.
I mean, you put in so much time, and you're really getting the bulk of everything. Very rarely is a DLC, like Whistleblower, I guess, was really cherry on top. But generally,
for a game like this, where you've got... I beat this game in 17 and a half hours, and that's a pretty quick run. I think I got 54% completion on that. There's still a lot of content left if I really wanted it. So games like this, when you're talking DLC, same thing with Borderlands 2. I mean, that game can go on as long as you want. The DLC is not really necessary. But with Whistleblower, you're looking for some resolution to the narrative. So that's a different story. But one more thing on this, if I may, multiplayer. There's no multiplayer. However, you can see if someone on your friends list was killed by one of these nemesis, and you can. There's a quest where you can avenge their death. So as I was playing through this, I would see people on my Steam's friends list and where they died and who killed them. And in a few cases, I went over there and avenged their death. And apparently it lets you know, because one of my friends sent me a message on Steam and said, "Thanks for avenging me, bro." Which is funny because I haven't heard from this guy in a while. And I was just wondering, like, I wonder what he's been up to. And then I'm avenging his death on Mordor here, apparently.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I thought that was cool. That was a nice touch.
I thought, overall, I was really excited for this game. And the more I read, the more I was excited about it. And so far, this hasn't let me down at all. Like, I applaud the fact that they didn't spend all this extra time and effort trying to get some multiplayer janked in here, when obviously this was a single-player experience. And the graphics are decent. I even like the fact that they made the decision to go PC off the bat and delayed the console release. Because, I mean, this is ready to go now. Like, why delay it? So
yeah.
I think overall I'm very pleased with this whole experience.
And when we're watching these videos, I know we should wrap this up, but that little QuickTime event that they have, the one where you have to put it in the circle and then push the button, I missed it a couple times, and that's good. It was well done, you know.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different. It's not just push the button, it's do something then push the button. Mm-hmm. And so
I was like thinking about starting my game over because I was learning stuff and making mistakes, and I had to kind of try to do as perfectly as possible. Right. So I was like, I'll just die and start over. And so I failed the QuickTime event or whatever and died. And then like all these captains got all these promotions and stuff.
Oh yeah, if you die once.
You don't actually die. It just starts you kind of starts you over a little bit.
Because you're a wraith, and I guess you can respawn, so there's actually no death. So they incorporate that well into the story. I really feel like the nemesis system is the highlight of this game. I mean, that is something new and innovative that we haven't seen before, and it's something I think we might might see in the future come up in other games or maybe...
Do you think it could apply into other genres and stuff?
Oh, absolutely.
Like maybe like a cops and robbers thing with like a, you know, yeah, organized for sure. crime.
This is not the last time we're going to see this. You know, AI is evolving and yeah. this is not really AI, but, you know, we're going to start seeing better, more and more robust in AI. All right. So I don't know where else I'm going to use my Gollum voice. So I'm going to throw it out here. Here's my Gollum review of this game.
Relax it. Yes, you're good.
Wow.
Yeah. Come on.
That was not decent at all, but it was a good question.
All right.
Okay.
I was sitting here getting more and more nervous about it.
Well, I'm glad you went for it.
But this game has been getting amazing reviews from a lot of people. It's mostly positive on Steam, and Game Informer, I think, gave it an 87, and I'd agree with that. This is one of my favorite games so far this year. I don't know if it is my favorite, but it is up there.
Cool. Yeah, I liked it. What's next? Bobby, Never Ending Nightmares.
Yeah.
Never Ending Nightmares. Okay. So I talked about this game a little bit last week. This was a psychological horror game that... Albert's messing with us. This is a psychological horror game developed by Infinitap Games. Basically an indie game. It's gotten generally good reviews. And it's a personal game. It's based on the developer's struggle with mental illness, OCD, asthma. A lot of this stuff ties into the game. So there's a lot of metaphors in this. If you look at this game right off the bat, you're going to notice that it's got a very unique art style. It's very black and white, scribbled, pencil.
Sketches.
Yeah.
Sketches.
They said it resembles the... Yeah, kind of. They said it kind of resembles the artwork of Edward Gorey. Now, I don't know who that is, but apparently that's an artist. But right off the bat, that's what caught my eye about this game. It looks very unique. And there's parts... it's very black and white, but then... colors stand out, like blood or guts, and this game is very graphic. I don't know. I thought I would
blood
like...
Blood comes out in color?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like Sin City.
Yeah. Very similar to that. It was only about 2 hours long. A very short game. The cool thing about this was the branching narrative. You play through this game, and depending on the decisions you make at certain points... you go down different paths, and those paths can end up at one of three endings. So if you're going to play this game, you should do what I did and just play it through. Don't look up where these points are, where forks. Just play it through and see which ending you get. And then afterwards, I actually looked it up, and then I got the other endings just to see what happened.
You played through, or you just watched them on YouTube?
No, I played through them.
Wow, I would have just watched them.
Grab the achievements, probably.
Right.
Well,
farm the cards.
Yeah.
Well, not only do you get the different endings, but there's different parts of the story that I wanted to see as well.
I see.
How much was this, by the way?
It was on sale for $13.49. Oof. I think retails for $15.
You say oof, but at the same time, remember, if you go buy, that's what you're going to pay for a movie, right? And it's 2 hours.
Because I'm looking at this game, and it could be a flash game, honestly.
No, not really. Well, I like it. I like the view.
I mean, it's a background with a single dude walking. You know.
Wow, those look creepy.
Yeah, I guess it could be. There's very little puzzles to this game, though. I think there's one point where I had a puzzle, and it took me a minute to figure out. I had to step on some glass to attract the attention of
these... Don't give it away.
Spoilers. All right, spoilers. Jeez. I don't think that's spoiling anything, but okay. But
you're giving away the one puzzle.
Yeah.
The one... Okay. The puzzle is not the point of this game. It's not meant... It's not meant
to... The puzzle.
It's not really meant to be puzzling. It's meant to be kind of a metaphor, somehow symbolic for...
his struggles in life.
Yeah.
Really? Did that come through? Did you read that before or after?
I read it... I think I read it after, maybe during. But the character, you can run for a short period of time, and then he starts breathing heavier and heavier until he has to stop panting for breath. And I think that's because... the developer had asthma. They also said that you have to traverse the same area over and over again, and sometimes it's just slightly changed, and it forces you to do that. You'll run down a hallway, reach a dead end, so you'll turn around, and the hallway you just came down is different. I think it's
infuriating.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah.
It's a weird game. It's not one that I can recommend. I don't know. How do you guys feel about games like this that are so personal, that a developer makes?
Well, when you first said that, I was like, wow, that seems like a very good... what a great expression of his self, you know? But if it was poorly executed, then that's kind of shitty.
No, I don't think it was at all. I mean, this is not a kind of game that I think was made to reach a mass audience,
right,
like, or have general appeal. I mean, it's a personal game. And I think those are interesting just to play. I don't know that I always enjoy them, but I respect the fact that people are doing it.
I appreciate games as art. However, if the game isn't enjoyable either, it just becomes a piece of art. And, you know, it's not something to be played. It's just something to be looked at. And so I think it's important that games go beyond just art and be enjoyable, you know, too.
Yeah.
That was interesting. I'm watching the video. I think it's kind of funny that you can see through your character, it looks like. It's kind of a weird... I don't know what that is.
Well, there's a fog in there, which is kind of a dark scribble shading that he's moving through. One thing they did very well in this game was the sound. There's an option to, if you're using headphones, it changes the way the sound is, and it sounds way, way better, way creepy. It doesn't even really have music. It's kind of like noises. Mm. And there's a few jump scares.
Did it get you? Did you yell at your computer, as you say?
No. They weren't that bad, but it wasn't even like made to make you jump, just to kind of creep you out. And the game gets very gory, too.
That looks pretty bad right there. There's a pile of bodies.
Oh, it gets worse.
And when blood is the only color you see, it really makes it pop.
Yeah.
Cool. Last night, speaking of jump scares, played Five Nights at Freddy's just a little bit. I was wasted. Me and my girl were drunk. And she's sitting on my lap. She's like, let's play the... What'd she call it? Let's play Freddy Got Fingered. Let's play it. And I was like, okay. So we played it up, and so we're playing through it.
Are you letting her play it, by the way, or are you...
No, I'm doing all the clicking.
Okay.
But she's pointing at, like, go to this camera. Go to this camera. It was fun, actually. But she's, like, so nervous and so tense. She knows it's coming, right? We got through night one on the first try, actually. And super easy. And then she's like... Oh man, like, because she's like, we're running out of power, babe, right? Because you know much about the mechanics, so yeah, the more you look around, the harder it is, but you need to look around to stop them. And so eventually we got eaten or whatever it was. I don't know what guy it was.
Jump scare,
she yelled so loud at 3 a.m. in the morning. I was like, you fucking definitely woke some people up. She's like, ah! Like she was being attacked. Not like a, ooh, or something. Like a real blood-curling, like it was bad. I was like, shut the fuck up. And she's like, oh my God.
Always a gentleman.
Yeah. That's a minute. And we did it. Yeah, and I slapped her. Backhand. Backhand, that's, you know, it doesn't leave bruises. So, these are jokes, folks. These are just jokes. Yeah, it was cool. Really cool game to play with your girl, because she could just literally point at what she wants you to do, and you just can enjoy it together.
So how far did you get?
We didn't get through night two. We were wasted, too. And I couldn't really get... So they can't progress as long as you have the camera on them, right, Bobby?
I don't know. It's tricky. If you keep the camera on them too long, it's actually worse if you check the cameras too often. You don't want to check them too much, and you don't want to check them too little.
So, this is the strategy I'm thinking right now. Just wait until they get to the doors, and then shut the doors.
Yeah. What you want to do...
But then the doors open, right?
I'll give you the pro tip.
No, you can keep them closed. Okay. Pro tip.
Pro tip. You want to check Foxy. That's the only camera you want to check is Foxy, because he's the one that's going to make a beeline for you.
He's the quickest one?
Yeah, he's the one that kind of peeks out the curtain, then he moves closer and closer. You check Foxy, and you check your blind spots. If you see him in the blind spot, you shut the door, and then you wait for him to go away, then you open up the door again.
Oh, they go away?
Yeah, okay. From the blind spots.
I see.
Yeah. But on the first night, you can literally just shut both doors and just sit there and
wait. Oh, I see.
Yeah, so the first one's very easy.
So I shouldn't be proud that
I made it. Didn't you say that there was somehow that they can get in even with the door shut, though?
Freddy can in level 3. Level 3 is where it starts to get hard.
And you got to level 2.
Until I was wasted. So, that fucking foxy guy, dude, he's creepy. He's looking around the corner. You can't see his face, just his teeth and his eyes. It's all fucked up, man. It's scary. Oh, and she's like, you should leave. We should get out. Like, get up out of the chair and go. I was like, no, you can't. She's like, why can't you? She's like, get a flashlight and go look around. I was like, you can't get out of the chair. She didn't understand that part. Do you have a gun? No, don't have a gun.
Well, I guess I played a little bit of Destiny some more. I've been playing Destiny all for like past 3 weeks.
And when's the last time you've been into a game this much? I mean, I haven't seen you in a game this much.
I get it. Well, so it's a little different on the console because like I can play it at different times and stuff. The console just sometimes makes it easier. I can just have it sitting there and just
pick it up. You play on the couch a lot.
Yeah.
In the prone position.
Yeah. Anyways, a lot of the complaints that I had couple weeks ago about the drops and
they fixed them, right?
They're in the process of fixing them.
Yeah.
But it's still...
It's too late. All those people have that gear,
it pisses
right?
me off that it went this far. There would have been hundreds of testers that should have seen all this coming before. So it pisses me off. But the other thing that's cool is they opened their raid up. So their raid thing is 6 people.
Yeah.
It's 6 people. But it's like... official raids that have strategies on how you have to beat a boss. Okay. There's a boss where you have to like send some of the people into the portal and some of the people stay outside.
Right.
And
but once the strat's out, right?
It's like a wild boss whatever. Like you have to have some coordination. But what I think is interesting is hearing these shooter fans that have mocked the raid people
of WoW
suddenly getting into this sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's just interesting seeing kind of the two different genres meld together and kind of see how people are now changing their perception on what they think is cool. Like, I have a guy at work who's like a diehard shooter fan.
Right.
And he's like, oh, I can't grab a beer tonight. I gotta go home and raid. And he was making fun of me years ago for doing the same thing, and WoW. It's just kind of an interesting kind of perception to see them kind of change their kind of attitude about this sort of thing.
Bobby, did you ever get into raiding?
In World of Warcraft?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't super heavy into it. I was more into the PvP aspect. But yeah, I did raid for a while.
If there's one story, I tell this story every single time this comes up. I have got to tell it. There was a time where I was the hunter leader. I was the leader of the hunters in our guild, and Chad was the leader of the shaman.
And this was back with 40
Do you remember
what
boss
this
was?
This is 40-man raiding.
This is 40-man raiding.
It was the dragon, wasn't it? Kel'th? No, it wasn't Kel'th.
I don't remember. It doesn't matter. It was really hard, and we had been trying for I want to say 2 weeks or at least a week. And we finally got it done. We got our 40-man thing. I mean, we had it all set up where the leader could only, on Ventrilo, the leader could only speak to the class leaders, and then the class leaders designate down to their classes. Mm-hmm. And so I had like 3 hunters under me, and he had like 4 shaman or whatever. We fucking finished this thing. We are so happy. We take off our headsets, run into the hallway, high five, chest bump, and then run back into our rooms because we know we're needed. I mean, how the epitome of fucking geekdom was right there. But amazingness, like we.
But we'll never have that sort of experience again. Like, no game. Do you think a game will ever do 40?
Calm down, Debbie Downer.
40-man raiding, like 40.
No,
man
no, that'll never happen.
Yeah,
again.
That's what I mean.
Like, but that doesn't mean you can't be elated to that.
No,
point.
For sure.
Yeah,
and I'm sure if I do Destiny and we kill this raid boss or whatever, I'll probably be excited about that, but it won't be the same experience.
You're right. Maybe because there's so many people are involved, that's what really the importance really comes through when and we're like, whoa, we organized this many people.
Yeah
man, there's few challenges. Okay, first of all, there's the mechanics of the raid, which are difficult, and then it's people managing, which is so tough.
Plus all the work prior to going in there.
Yeah.
Like the gearing up, the buying the consumables, finding the people to get together,
yeah,
like all that preparation coming together, and then you have to do that week on hour after hour to try to get this thing solved. Yeah. So like they there's a term for it, for the increased enjoyment for the difficulty prior to.
Oh, right.
And that rating in WoW back then, that was the epitome of it. Like, there was so much work that you had to put into it to get there. So when you hit it, it was just such a high.
Now that we're talking about it, you know how much fun it was to be, like, I was the puller. I pulled all the mobs to the raid.
Mm-hmm.
Just being the front man for 40 people was pretty fucking awesome. Making sure that, you know, we didn't get swamped by a bunch of guys. I would feign death if too many. So much fun, man.
And plus, with 40 man raiding back then, there could only be a handful of guilds, because you just couldn't, they couldn't support a 40 man raid with that many. So like, you were known throughout the server just because you were in.
You were doing the shit. Yeah. You were doing the shit that was hard.
Yeah. So it was cool. Anyways,
Bobby, chime in anytime you like.
World of Warcraft was a long time ago for me. I hear they're making the dungeons a lot harder in the new expansion, though. That should be good.
Yeah.
That was always nice when the dungeon was actually a challenge. When you had people dedicated to crowd control, everybody had to control one. When you pull a mob, I mean, there's one thing when you pull a mob and everyone just attacks and blows everything up. Okay, whatever. But when you pulled a mob and you had to mark your targets, and okay, this one's ice trap, this one's sheep, everybody's going to focus down this one. Like, that was
helped
so,
so much when you could put those little shapes on their head. Yeah. That helped a lot.
Yeah.
So anyway, really enjoying Wasteland 2 still. I mean, I like this game so much, I stopped playing Mass Effect, which I was loving. You know what I mean?
Isn't that the kind of the rub these days? Is there so much shit, like,
man.
I want to play Endless Legend, but then Shadows of Mordor came out, and I still have Eve, and I still have, like, it's
first,
like,
world problems, man.
And then Hearthstone had an update with some changes, and
guys, that's why we need more subscribers, so we can play more games. We can do this full time and just play games all the time.
It's insane right now. They have targeted us so well on designing these games that it's insane.
Like, I was telling last week when we were talking about when Steam offers me games, it's like, here's a game about zombies with tits. I'm like, oh my god, oh my god, you know. But anyway,
game idea, by the way.
Yeah, big tits instead of the mushrooms coming out of their heads. So Wasteland 2, I want to just maybe, I don't know, pro tips if you want. The very first person that says, "Can I join your group?" Take her. It changed the game completely. Remember how much trouble I was having? She's like level 20 and a fucking crack shot that kills everybody in one shot. She's so good. And like, I thought she was going to replace one of us. Remember, I talked, but she doesn't. You can have actually up to 7 people in your party. And, you know, you have to up your leadership for them to, like... But anyway, she's awesome. I went back and grabbed her once I understood the mechanic. That would have been so helpful in the rest of the game. So there's that. Another thing. This is a little spoiler, but I'm going to give it away because it could have potentially cost me 30 minutes of my life. You finally get into the main town of the Rangers, and you're a ranger, and you're, you know, you're talking to all the dudes. It's kind of like getting to a WoW city first time.
Like a quest hub.
A quest hub, yeah. And there's just all this shit going on, and the interminglings, you're speaking. And
finally
then,
make a store, and you got all this shit to sell.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And there's no reason to save, because there's no mobs in there. Why would you save? Because otherwise, I'm saving every fucking 30 seconds. This game's hard, right? So I take a step, shoo, made it, right? So there was a door that was locked inside my place. And I was like, I'm going to try to pickpocket this place, right? So I think, let me save first, because I think they're going to shoot my head off. And I just couldn't picklock it or whatever. Right after that, I found a nuke. It had a button that was blinking. I said, push the button. Killed the entire Ranger Citadel, and my game was over. It said, your game is over. That was it. Had I not saved because I was going to pickpocket that, it would have set me back 45 minutes. So let me just put it out there. Don't do that.
Don't push the button on the nuke.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Don't push the button on the nuke.
Okay.
And then finally, I want to talk about evasion tanking, which is kind of cool. You know, there was an MMO that had this where, like, there was a... I forgot which one it was, but the tanks...
Freaking Lineage
2. Not Lineage. It was something 2, but it wasn't Lineage.
I'm pretty sure it was Lineage 2.
Because we didn't play that game. It's the one that I always say that is a really good game.
Oh, Guild Wars 2.
Guild Wars 2. Yeah.
You're right. It was Guild Wars.
So, Geyser or Albert, our producer, that's the one that I made our like rogue. I put his luck super high.
He's the one with the butcher's knife. That guy.
Butcher's knife. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Not only did I max his luck, I also have a trinket that gives him even more luck. So he's past max on luck. He's just evasion tanking. I put him out in front and he's fucking dodging and weaving and stuff. It's fucking awesome. And as I speak about this, I uploaded the video where he just dodges everything. We wouldn't have won if he wouldn't have dodged eight things. It was pretty cool. I really like, now that I know how to play it, I can't recommend
it. So Albert's cool. Let's get a little update on the party.
Bobby's fucking badass.
So he was the medic?
He's the medic. But I have this other medic that joined us. She's the sixth, the fifth person. So she's kind of doing the medic thing. No, it's just that he's shotguns. Have a shotgunner on your team. It's
how many people can you have on your
up to seven
party? Okay,
yeah.
But you start with a party of four, right?
A party of four, yeah. And right game starts, you can pick up a fifth right there.
And that's the girl that's the best.
Yeah, she's a badass. Bobby's a shotgunner, and then you can do like. The shotgun has a cone effect, so you can hit multiple. And when I built him, I gave him the maximum. He can run around, because I thought he was going to be running around healing. But I have him running deep and getting the best arc for the cone. Mm. He's fucking shit up. Bobby's really good this time. You're kind of like a mini sniper.
And I still dress like a gay
Yeah, you're a girl.
Porn star.
No, you're a girl.
I was a girl.
Yeah. Chad Butterface.
Chad Butterface, yeah. Naturally.
Yeah. Totally bangable, but, you know, butterface. That's why you're wearing a gas mask.
Okay.
And then I'm a traditional sniper.
Hey, I'm like the crafter, though, right?
Oh, yeah. You do all of the gun crafting. So anytime we find something we can't use, you break it down into little pieces. And then any new gun that we're going to use, you take all the mods off of old guns and put them on the new ones. It's really cool. I really enjoy this game.
That fits me.
Also, yeah, you're a real crafter. So that's why I give it.
Cool.
Yeah.
So how far into this game are you?
I have no idea, really. I'm in the second major storyline. I don't know how long the game is.
Is the story engaging, or are you just kind of going from?
I do feel like conflict? I do kind of feel like I'm in the wastes of a post-apocalyptic. I mean, it seems like this is how things would be. Also, I like that I don't know that the Rangers are good. Like, you would think that the people you work for, but there's some shady shit going on there, so I haven't figured that out yet. So, I don't... Yeah, it's good. It's engaging. Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
Awesome. Is that everything that we've been playing this week?
I believe
Pretty
so.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. Talk about news.
And now the news. Over to you. So, I watched the video, and very rarely do I watch a video and I'm like, oh, wow, this looks cool. If only this were in-game graphics. And then you figure out, oh, these are in-game graphics. And that happened with Human Resources. I thought when I was watching, I was like, oh, this is a mock-up of how the game is played. And then they zoom in and you see that's how it's being played. It looks fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Bobby, you probably have the most info on this. What did you think?
It looks good.
All right, cool. So let's wrap, huh? Titties, and we're out. Jesus Christ, man.
No, I like the looks of it. It looks great.
It looks awesome.
This is made by Uberint, and I think a lot of people are upset because Planetary Annihilation did not quite... It took forever for them to make that game. This is the game that they made prior. It was a Kickstarter. This is also a Kickstarter.
They're charging so much for that game, too.
Yeah.
Like $70.
For Planetary Annihilation?
Pre-order, yeah.
Yeah, it was very expensive, but you could get it on sale now. I bought it for $15.
You were saying that they didn't hit everything that they were supposed to on the Kickstarter, right?
I think a lot of people were not happy with the end product when it finally came out. And I think people are feeling a little upset that they're asking for more money for a new Kickstarter when they haven't really delivered on everything they promised for Planetary Annihilation. I mean, this game does look great. It looks fun. It doesn't have a serious tone. It just looks like it'd be enjoyable to play and funny. And Human Resource, it's got a great title.
Yeah,
let's explain that a little bit. The resources in this game are humans. So there's the giant robots versus the endless, I think they're called. which are these, or the legends, whatever, monsters from a long time ago.
But it's like a RTS, right?
Yeah, it's an RTS. And you have, you know, robot overlords versus ancient magical creatures, and they're all fighting over a broken up Earth, and what they both consume in order to power themselves are humans, and they're in, like, buildings. So instead of going over to a mine and mining gold, you're mining humans out of buildings. And if I could describe what this game looks like The Incredibles-ish, mm-hmm. but, man, it looks super crisp.
It's cel-shaded.
Cel-shaded, but also more on the 3D side. It looks great, man. Yeah, I really like it.
It looks amazing.
If they pull this off, although I was really excited for Planetary Annihilation, but not as much as this. I thought this is really good. Great name, by the way, too, Human Resources.
Yeah.
I think I first heard of Planetary Annihilation about 2.5 years ago, and I was really excited for it. Kind of kept an eye on it for a long, long time, and I think I bought it during some Steam sale. I haven't even played it yet.
What's the reviews on it? Does anybody know?
I do not
know. If we only had a producer.
Yeah.
Mostly positive.
Mostly positive.
For Planetary Annihilation.
God, he's quick.
75%.
Well, you got to play it sometime, and since you own it, and tell us what you think.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe this company is just really good at advertising and not so good at game making, you know?
Yeah.
Because Planetary Annihilation...
Maybe they got a great... what is it called?
Promotional person?
Whatever that makes the trailers and all.
Yeah. And then shit programmers.
Yeah.
Well, I'm afraid that we might be getting into that stage with a lot of these companies. It's like they're selling the ideas of games and not games themselves. It's like, hey, this is a great idea. Throw a bunch of money at us. And then... you know, they get the money, they release a product, and then it's on to the next thing. I don't know.
I'm wondering if they're... So, I really like the idea of Kickstarter, but this is something that I worry about. Like, there's no policing involved, so if they don't deliver on what was promised, what happens? Penalties? Is there...
Well, if the game doesn't get made at all, if nothing is produced, I think everybody gets their money back. But if it's a shit product, but it is kind of what they promised, just a shit version of it, I think you're just fucked. So that's kind of shitty. But I did read a headline, I believe it was today or yesterday, that kickstarting backing is way, way down from last year.
Really?
Last year was like a huge boom for it, remember? Everybody was like, oh my God, so much money. I mean, there are those outliers like Star Citizen, which is... $55 million. So crazy.
Wow.
To be a success before you're even out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's good parts and bad parts to Kickstarter. The good is obviously that we've got a new way to make games and you don't have to go through the traditional methods. And we've seen a lot of good stuff come out of that. But the bad side is, you know, we've heard the stories about people having Kickstarters to bake an apple pie and raising thousands of dollars or some shit like that. You know, people are just kind of using this as a joke. And I don't think they're required to give any money back either. I'm pretty sure if you throw money into a Kickstarter, then you aren't entitled to anything.
Maybe it's individual setups for each one. You know?
Yeah, it might be different for each of them.
If you're a podcast listener, like you download and just listen to it, if you were going to watch one thing about the things we talk about, watch this trailer. It's one of the most interesting, cool-looking things I've seen in a while. I really like the looks of it.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is, what, another 2 years before it comes out?
Who knows?
Assuming that... Last time I checked the Kickstarter, they had only made, like, a tenth of what they were looking to make.
Well, yeah. All those people.
Well, and even once they make the money, who knows how long it'll take. I mean, we saw Planetary Annihilation go through all the stages, and that took quite a while.
So Albert's doing some background check on Kickstarter, and basically Kickstarter says it's between you and the... person that sets up the Kickstarter and they're not involved with it. So basically, if the Kickstarter is successful, it's between you and them, then Kickstarter's out of it.
It's on an individual basis.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, they've made less than 200,000 and they have a pledge goal of 1.4 million and they only have 30 days left. So
yeah, they're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Oh, so, that's what it is. I think if they don't make their pledge goals,
they're going to
get some money back. Yeah.
All right,
what else are we talking about?
So I watched a really long video. It was probably like 45 minutes. I did it while I was working out, so it was all the boring parts were kind of like, it didn't matter. It was on EverQuest Next, which is, like I've said before, it's one of these things that I'm looking forward to the most. And they were talking
did
about...
Did they have a release date on that, by the
way? 2015 is all I know for sure. So they were talking about A Life of Consequence. And they're, I mean, these are lofty fucking goals. It sounds like the Nemesis system. It's exactly what it is. But you're talking, instead of talking about individual captains, you're talking about entire tribes of mobs, right? So just to give a brief summary. So say there's orcs in the area. They have goals, and they have fears, and they want to expand like any civilization wants to do. And so, but let's say the top thing that they're worried about is gold. They're going to position themselves best to get as much gold as they can, kill as many players, and try to take over mines as they would, right? So, say, and there's no quest givers in this game. So you walk around, there's no exclamation marks on people's head. You have a book that you open up, and it tells you...
Does the book have a name, by the way?
Yeah, it does, but I don't know. It's some, like, made-up name.
Okay.
Rosong. God damn, he's fast.
Yeah, he is.
Jesus Christ, man.
He's good.
I think he just got lucky on that one. So, so it just tells you what's going on. So it'll be like, oh, the gnolls are moving into this area. These people kind of need some help. these people need some help. And, you know, you can get involved right here. So you would, and then you get quests, you get XP from doing quests that are just actually going on, as opposed to every person that comes through the area does the same quest like every MMO ever, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if I'm doing a good job of explaining this, but say the gnolls just get decimated. Players fucking go out, kill them all, take their gold stashes, which they've been mining gold the whole time, and they have their gold stashes. So whoever raids the gnolls and or orcs or whatever they are and takes all their gold that they had been accumulating. So there's definitely, you want to do that. They'll move. Like, it didn't work out here. We're going to move down the street and try over there. Maybe they'll have moderate success there. Also, if you piss them off enough, if they get decimated too much, they get bolstered. And they get, like, they rally and they'll put an army together and try to take on the player city. And they can decimate the player city. And it can go down, and you have to start that all over. The city needs to start over. Now, once the city is established, you can get to a certain point where you build walls, and now, okay, it's the city. Now the server just goes into the next phase. So now a new threat comes, and it's not the orcs anymore. And the players have to work together. Now, what's interesting about that is, in the demonstration that they had, it was the Dark Elves. They're trying to expand. So at some point, the Dark Elves take care of the orc problem. Now they're dealing with the druids that live next door to them, right? While the players are on the druid side as well. So now you have player versus player, but they're not fighting each other kill on sight like
it
is.
You can't gank.
You can't gank. You're just doing quests to try to help the faction that you're trying to help. But you're fucking over the other players as you're doing this. Yeah. So it's non-confrontational PvP. Now, there's going to be traditional PvP, but this is almost like, who can quest faster? So it's almost, I don't know, it's a whole new world as far as, if they pull this off, man, it's fucking awesome.
It sounds really cool.
Yeah.
What I worry about, like part of the quest, traditional quests of like WoW and the other ones, there's that... It's crafted by a designer, and
right. It
you know, and so I kind of think of it kind of like reality TV versus traditional TV. Like reality TV is interesting, but there's no like higher level thinking there.
Right,
it's
right.
Just whatever happens,
right.
And we're going to record it, right. And it's either interesting or it's not interesting, but it's just there. Versus traditional TV where. You know, you've got story arcs that go for the season, or you got, you know.
You take the risk of it being boring.
Yeah.
You really do.
And that's what I worry about. And, you know, you can have, like, these weird quests that you have to do different things. I worry that there's no such thing as weird quests or interesting or unique quests in this kind of setup.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I do like the fact that you can go into an area, survey the area, and actually see what needs to be done. Oh, this dude's house is on fire? Let me put it out, and maybe he gives me something. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting, as opposed to he has an exclamation mark forever for every player that ever walks by. It, like I said, lofty goals, more power to them if they pull
it
off.
Yeah, and I think the question mark mentality...
Yeah,
I think is similar to kind of a mud. What do you call it? A text based.
Yeah,
you know, we didn't have the power to do visual stuff, so we did it all text.
Yeah.
But then once we got the be able to do visuals, there's no text based anymore.
Right.
This whole idea of a question mark, we were just kind of filling in for an idea of an organic. Oh, I can see the house on fire.
Right.
Let me go help him out. You know. And so now that we're kind of powering up this AI and everything else, I think it's a natural transition out of kind of the out of the built-in quest.
You're kind of
organic.
You're kind of getting the context of the story from the story,
exactly.
As opposed, I think it's really instead of little tricks. It's kind of like when you're playing a game and they have these little voice recorders that tells you what's going on. Mm-hmm. You could do it that way, or you could actually make a game where you're living through the actual story.
Yeah.
So, I can't wait.
Yeah, and we'll see how it's implemented. SOE has kind of a mixed track record for me, so we'll have to see how they implement this.
I'm not too concerned about the leveling part of MMOs, though. It's all about the end game for me. So even if they do make this very interesting and have all these new innovative things, I don't know. Like, I'm just there to grind XP so I can get to the top level, so I can raid or so I can do high-level PvP.
That makes me think of something with Destiny. Mm-hmm. So Destiny, 20 is the level cap, right? And you can get 20 in less than 10 hours, probably. I have all three characters, because there's three different classes. I have all three of them to 20.
Which seems kind of light.
Well, so each class has two different like subclasses. But here's the point. 20 isn't the end game in any respect.
It's really where it starts, right?
Sort of, because one of the stats is light, and light actually levels you up past 20, so you can be level 21, 22 if you have light. But the other thing that, the reason I bring this up is, just because you hit level 20, you haven't leveled up all your skills yet, so you have to continue to play the game to level up all your skills. And if you want to switch subclasses, you have the whole tree to learn again. So just because you're at 20 doesn't mean you want to stop gaining XP. So it's an interesting kind of mechanic where XP is super important, even though I'm at max level. And the other thing is, if every time you get an item, that item needs to level up to get to its maximum ability. And so every time you gain new items, you're trying to level them up too. So XP continues to be super important in Destiny, even though you're already at max level.
It sounds like being at max level really doesn't even mean anything.
Well, it does, because you're level 20 compared to like... So if you see a level 12 enemy and you're level 20, you know, you'll easily kill them versus if you were 6 and see a level 12, you know.
So it's like the equivalent of World of Warcraft when you would hit top level and then you would just focus on getting better gear.
Sort of. But instead of better gear, they continue to use XP as an important integral part of it versus WoW, where you hit level 20 and then you don't give a shit about XP anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like... You're not doing quests for XP. In fact, your XP gets turned over into gold anyways.
Yeah, but you're still... even though there's no XP, you're still leveling up.
True.
Like in World of Warcraft, there's a big difference between someone who just hit level, whatever the cap is, and someone who's been there for quite some time, raided all the dungeons, has some really good gear.
Yeah, and I think... I kind of like how Destiny does this, because... You know, WoW had to like come up with some janky way to turn XP into gold so you'd still kind of want to do quests versus Destiny, where I want to do those quests. I want that XP bonus because I've got all these things that I need to level up as well. You know?
So when you were talking about it, we were like, okay, it's kind of a new mechanic. Mm-hmm. And then at first you were like kind of optimistic about it. And then you kind of hated it. And then now you're more on the...
I still hate how they... decide who gets items.
Okay.
That mechanic is
still... But the mechanic itself is still The whole leveling up your gear.
I enjoy the leveling up your gear, yeah. Leveling up the other subclass. Like, there is a lot of things you can do once you hit 20 to kind of make the game still be enjoyable. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people are already level 30, and 30 is the hard cap. So I'm not sure if, like, if they're going to just kind of peter out in a
DLC,
in another month or two. Yeah. Like, so we'll have to see how it goes.
Cool. Well, I think the point I was trying to make with MMOs is that for me, and I would think a lot of other people, really comes down to the end game content, because mm-hmm. an MMO is something that you play for a very long time. I mean, usually that's all somebody plays. They spend a lot of time doing it, so you have to have content there. And generally, I think people focus more on that than they do on the actual leveling experience.
I don't know what I'm going to do with the podcast. Like, if I really get sucked into EverQuest next, what am I going to do with the podcast? Like, we're just going to have Emilio's EverQuest Minute.
Well, you already do that now with Skyrim, so hopefully maybe I'll just replace Skyrim with EverQuest.
How many times have we thought that was going to happen, though, that some game was just going to dominate our lives, yeah. And it just...
Yeah. Speaking of that end game, the original EverQuest, amazing. To get to level cap...
Yeah, it's really hard.
What, 200 hours? 300?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, like 300 hours
300,
probably.
Like, so I don't know if it follows the EverQuest vein... We might not be talking about endgame. We might be talking about us, you know.
And I kind of like it better like that. I know that was like concern for you, Bobby, but I'd rather the journey be where the story's at than after the endgame. I would rather have so much fun getting to level 60 and go do another character than get to level 60 and then have a bunch of stuff to do there. I mean, if I had to... Obviously, both is the best, but I would rather do it that way.
Well, I think there was also a shift when WoW came out, because it went from... Because EverQuest, you didn't get quests and go and do them and turn them in. EverQuest was like, you were like 50, and you were like, let's go out farming, and farming meant killing enemies until you got the next level. Like, it was just... That was the way you did it. Whereas then WoW came out, and it felt like you had to have enough quests to get to the... To get to max level.
Yeah.
And all that quest takes so much time and energy to do. So, like, they had to cap it earlier than they would in EverQuest.
That's why I go
especially,
in the
forest. But if EverQuest is using this new mechanic where they're doing quests organically, they might go back to that earlier model where it's very hard to level because you don't have to design all those quests. It just happened. It's basically computer designed at that point.
What's also cool about EverQuest Next, if we're going back to this, this is, if you watch their keynote speech, and I've talked about it before, that this is only one of the four pillars, what they call, you know, that differentiates them from all the MMOs. Most games have one of these pillars, as they call it. Like, this is our thing. Mm-hmm. EverQuest has like four or five things that are completely different. There was another video showing kind of the mechanics of some of the attacks and stuff. You know, you think you've seen everything at a certain point, but, you know, taking the environment into effect, that's really cool. Like, the wizard can make a hole, a literal hole in the ground, and the bad guys fall in it, and they have to, like, climb out before they could do anything else. And that's not pre-rendered. That's not, like, scripted. You can make a hole in any ground at any point. The warrior, when he does his, like, spin attack, also, like, digs into the ground. There was a point where this was fucking dope. The wizard like put his staff down and it froze the ground, and then the warrior came and did a stomp and stomped through the ground so that they could get into the basement faster. Instead of like basically working together to dig is faster than not. It looked really cool, and they killed some enemies during it. The priest is like a combat priest. The more damage he does, the more he heals. So he's not going to feel like you're playing whack-a-mole. It's more like, oh, I'm doing damage, and the residual effect is healing my friends. So there's a lot of cool stuff. And it all looks awesome. God, I hope this game doesn't let me down.
It will. Yeah. You have already overhyped it in your mind.
It's true. I mean, Mordor fell right in where I thought it was going to fall.
I haven't heard you talk about Mordor for the past 6 months that you have.
It's true.
So what else we got in the news?
Anything else worth mentioning here?
So I've been reading a lot of stuff about the 900 series of the graphics card. Finally, some hardware. I only bring it up because it's a lot. The 970 seems to be the star of the show here. Now, the 980 is the top one, right, Bobby?
Yeah.
But apparently, if as far as bang for your buck, the 970...
And how much is the 970? Is that the $300?
I think it's about $400.
$330 for the 9. Yeah, for the 970.
And as far as bang for your buck, there's nothing else that you can get close, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like when the new Camaros came out. The SS is their badass car. But people were saying, like, bang for your buck, the RS, like, if you only want to spend... is way, way better. Rolling track. Same thing. It's almost like the little brother is the star.
It's like you lose 10%, but it's half the price.
Right, so exactly. Yeah. So, but Bobby, you're still going to go with the 980 because it's just a baller like that.
Yeah.
Well, the 980's got the performance.
He's just big dick in it.
Well, I'm upgrading from a 690, so I've got to do something big.
Yeah. But now... What, so you hear about the Blacks or whatever, the Titan Blacks or whatever. I felt like the prices of those things are so extravagant and stuff, and then now it's coming more down to like mid-range-ish.
Well, there's always high-end products like that companies are going to put out there for those really extreme rich people that are going to buy them. The Titan Black was a big mistake on NVIDIA's part because it was, what, $3,000, I want to say?
So crazy.
And for half the price, you could have gotten an AMD card that outperformed it. So the Titan Black was a huge fuck-up for NVIDIA.
Yeah.
And they didn't... I don't think they hardly sold too many of them, and they probably lost money on that.
Well, let's say it this way. I know the name Titan Black. I don't know the AMD card. So just having that $1,000 hamburger is going to get you in magazines. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just getting your name out there.
If you're spending that much on a video card, then you will know what the name of the AMD card is, though.
Yeah.
I mean, people who are into that stuff are going to be well aware. They're checking benchmarks, and they're looking at PCPer.com and, like, Tom's Hardware, and they're checking all that stuff.
If you're truly rich, are you, though? I think you're going, what's the best shit? Oh, this is it? Then we got it.
Yeah, but it's not the best shit. Now, if you're going to spend that kind of money, trust me, you're doing your research.
Yeah. I don't know. If you're a rich dude, you're telling somebody, get me the best shit. Best shit just shows up. And it's just like, oh, I got this thing. It's Titan Black.
Well, if you're buying something off of Falcon Northwest or iBuyPower or something like that, then maybe. But if you're building your own rig, then, yeah, you're doing your research and you're probably getting that AMD card. I think AMD still has the fastest card out there.
So you think that the extra, to use Chad's analogy, the extra 10% is worth the extra 50%?
Oh, it's not 10%.
Okay.
So no, the 980 is significantly faster. I don't know.
When you say significantly, what are you talking about? 20%?
I don't know. I can't say. I'd have to look at benchmarks. But it is going to be a lot faster. I mean, we're talking about a $200 price difference here.
Well, that's what we're saying.
Is it worth
it? It's kind of like the bleeding edge ones. Like, you can get stuff out day one, and it's going to be expensive. And then... you know, a couple months later, it's like half the price. You know?
$550 for a graphics card is not bleeding edge, though. I spent $1,000 on my 690. I spent $1,000 on my 590. Titans are going for $1,000.
Yeah,
I'm used to spending $1,000 on a GPU. $550. I may even buy two of these things. I don't know.
Baller.
If I have to credit Bobby with one compliment, that might be the first time I've ever heard him say, "I don't know." This fucking guy, anytime I'm like, "Hey Bobby, I'm, you know, I don't know how to wipe my ass correctly," he knows everything. It's really good.
You go bottom to top, right?
Oh yeah. And for all the listeners, if you have any tech problems, just shoot him Bobby's way. He'll take care of you.
Oh they do. Now, I love it when people hit me up on Steam and want to talk hardware, though. I've been actually talking to a couple people this week. I've been getting hit up by the most random people on Steam lately.
Yeah, you keep three times today you've said that some weird...
I've had some interesting conversations.
Hit me up.
Today.
Tell me. What's going on?
What's
the weirdest one?
I don't think it was a listener.
No.
No, I can't even mention it, man. It's I'll tell you after the show, but I don't think it was one of our listeners. But, yeah, shit gets weird sometimes in my world.
For the extra content, look at blahblahblah.com.
Alright, what else we got?
So if you guys know what Lumosity is, it's a website. This is not a, we're not plugging. It's a website where, you know, you pay them money and you play mind games which...
you can do it for free. They've got a free version.
You've done it, haven't you?
When I was on vacation with my folks,
yeah,
my dad had his iPad, and so every day it like blinks at you saying, hey, do your luminosity today. And so...
So your dad does it?
Yeah.
What do you think about it? Did you talk about it?
Yeah, he enjoyed it. It was something that we could talk about. Because it's almost games. You know, it's like not games, but it's almost games. So you could...
Little memory games.
You talk to your somebody that doesn't normally play games and say, you know, kind of lightly get them in. Kind of like you would talk about maybe Sudoku or a crossword for some traditional... Your grandmother or something would do that.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's little mind games that help you build cognitive function.
Supposed to.
That's what they claim. And I believe there's been double-blind studies that show that, you know, there is.
Anything that you stretch your brain, it's like any other muscle.
Yeah,
you
know,
you
for sure.
You use your brain, it gets better.
Absolutely. unless you drink every weekend like me. I keep getting dumber, by the way, guys.
No, you're maintaining your intelligence. You drink enough and you...
game enough.
Yeah.
I hope. That would be the best case scenario.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess they did a stress test or whatever, and Portal 2 seems to give better cognitive improvements than Lumosity does.
Hmm.
And I can totally see it. Because you need to think differently. You need to build new neural pathways to try to figure out some of this shit because it's so out there.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Portal had portals. And then Portal 2 had portals, jelly... beams of light that had gravity to their own. Like, three new mechanics in Portal 2. Great fucking game. I can't recommend it enough. But why play Lumosity when you can probably buy Portal 2 for the same price of 1 month of Lumosity and enjoy yourself? Because it's, you know, and hopefully there's more games like this. Maybe it gets picked up that... something like this can prevent Alzheimer's, you know, like some certain games and stuff. That would be really cool. And I think it's all coming in the future. But I thought it was a nice news bit.
I wanted you to bring this up for a specific reason. And I think gamers can sometimes get hate from non-gamers saying, oh, you're just gaming, like you're wasting your life.
Right.
And stuff like that. And I just wanted to, like, I want people to understand that it doesn't matter what you do, you're changing some aspect of your life, for better or for worse. But gaming, like, definitely, especially nowadays with the level of intelligence that games have, you are stretching your brain, you're stretching your reflexes, you're stretching your fast twitch and your cognitive skills and how fast you can process things.
Yeah.
People nowadays are processing things so much faster than even our parents were. And that is due largely in part to the society that we're in and the games that we play and stuff like that. But there is a downside for it, too. Or, you know, attention spans are like gnats now. Yeah. Like, your parents will read a book and have a great time. I can't get any of my friends to read a single book of mine. Like, nobody wants to. Like, it's too slow. Like, you just can't do it anymore. So, I mean, it's changing who we are. But it's not necessarily... I don't know if it's better or worse. It's just different.
It is different. So, I mean, if the grid goes down and we don't have electricity, we're fucked. I can't fucking build a fire. But I can build one in WoW.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a really good video on YouTube. It's by a popular channel. I can't remember the name of it. I want to say it's like ASAP Science or something with science in the title, but it poses the question, do video games make you smarter, which is something you hear asked a lot. And basically, in the video, they came to the conclusion that I think a lot of people come to. And in a lot of ways, it does make you more... gamers are able to keep track of more things, like moving objects on a screen, numbers flashing, like you're able to keep track of more. But if you spend all your time gaming, then it's not like you're using that towards anything, and it doesn't really help you in any way. So there's always a balance between gaming and going out and doing other stuff.
Yeah. There's a TED Talk by
I hate TED Talks.
Oh, all of them? You just blanket statement?
Yeah.
You anyway. Just crushed Emilio, because Emilio lives off TED Talks.
Like, they're more shit than good stuff in these days, and it's not worth going through it. But anyway, there's this, she's some sort of educator of some sort, expert, and they did tests on first-person shooter players, and their cognitive reasoning and timing and all is everything's off the charts as opposed to somebody of equal age that is a non-gamer. They can identify so many things in their view and identify like threats and how quickly they make decisions, and just all way better. Now at the same time, you know, you have your downsides of you're sitting at a computer all day, which comes with those physical. So, but it was ultimately a positive thing. Like, maybe we need to take a second look at this. This is all going to be resolved in the next 20 years, I think. Yeah.
A little sidebar on this. Like, one of the concerns that I had, or have always had with gaming, was the social aspect.
Yeah.
Because gaming tended to be antisocial.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that got really into games back in the 90s and early 2000s had social problems. Like, you couldn't interact with people very well because you never trained those up. You know, you're sitting in front of a computer or console all day, like, you just didn't have it. But nowadays, with the social interaction that games have these days, you're starting to get that. I'm seeing it less and less. Like, even games like Shadows of Mordor, which is a single player game, has that aspect of social and friends, and can spark communication and social interaction. So I think that problem will tend to go away.
Well, it's interesting, like, though. If you get all of your social skills from LOL, you're not going to be the most gentle of people. Yeah. You know, I've run into some of these people.
Yeah.
I might be related to one. And it's just like all of his social skills were learned on the internet. And that's not okay either. It doesn't go well at Christmas parties. You know what I mean? Like, oh, why is he, you know? And so there's a downside as well. So who knows? It's all going to work itself out. But we're in the rough days of the beginnings of all
some
this
growing
stuff.
Pains.
Yeah, for sure. Growing pains. Great way to say it.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it for news?
Social commentary from your DL Gaming friends.
Bobby, you want to maybe wake up at some point?
Yeah.
I'm going to bed.
You don't game 20 hours of Shadows of Mordor and not...
God, yeah. I probably played like 13 hours today.
That's awesome, man. When's the last time you played 10 hours straight, Chad? Anything?
When have I had 10 hours to play
anything?
It's every Saturday for me, pretty much, but just having to be all in one game today.
Nice. So let's wrap it up.
Yeah. So what's, before we wrap it up though, what's the week ahead looking like for you guys? What's the plan?
Yeah. What is the plan?
Oh, we have, Borderlands, right? Is that
the 13th? I believe it comes out.
So not quite yet.
Not quite.
So it won't be by next podcast.
I believe.
But are there any games on your radar that you're going to be playing, or is it going to be more?
I got to play the rest of Shadows of Mordor. I'm probably less than 2 hours in right now, and I got to play more than that.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to continue it. Only because, yeah, I like the story of Wasteland. Like I keep saying, I want to get through Wasteland.
I'm down this week to pull from our user suggestions.
Yeah, I actually thought about that this week. So, like, oh, let me actually, I might jump over at some point and get, you know, jump on. Maybe that Hattori boyfriend or whatever that's called.
Oh my gosh. That's the bird pigeon dating site.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Birds go hot, for it. Tell me what you think.
Oh, Alien Isolation. Yeah. When's that dropping? 7th, so that's 3 days. Yeah, that'll work.
Now, it's going to be a tough call for me because on October 7th, two really big, highly anticipated titles are coming out, both of which I have pre-purchased, one of those being Alien Isolation, the other, of course, being Costume Quest 2. So
that's a crucial one, too.
I'm not sure what's gonna be my decision, but one of those I will be playing.
So, to go back a little bit, I'll probably pick up something from the from the listener suggestions. Mm-hmm. So if you do want to list a suggestion, go to our website, go to our Steam group, DL Gaming.
We have a discussion there.
We have a discussion set up. List what game you want us to review. We go through them. We usually pick one out a week. This week, somebody suggested Shadow of Mordor. We were obviously going to play it, but yeah, if you're interested in hearing us review games, feel free to jump on the discussion and let us know.
Cool. Hit up the website, dlgaming.net.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to mention, we're really close to 500 members in our group. Once we hit 500...
People on the thing.
Yeah. Once we hit 500, We are giving away our care package of PAX memorabilia. There's probably, what, six shirts there?
Six shirts, something yeah, like there. And like a little hood.
So probably next podcast, assuming we hit 500, we'll probably be telling you how you can enter in to win this. I'm probably going to take some pictures of the different stuff that we have and post them up on the gaming on the DL gaming group
or on the website. Either way, yeah, or both. So there we go.
Yep. Yeah. Be sure to rate and subscribe on iTunes as well.
Yeah, we had a couple people do so. Thank you very much. We hooked them up with some stuff. So we really appreciate
it. If you enjoy the content, that is probably the single most important thing you could do. Yep. That and subscribe on YouTube.
Yep.
Yep.
You can get to all that on our website, dlgaming.net.
Thanks for listening. Honestly, like, thanks for coming back. We did every time a number goes up, if I can, I get a little chubby. I love it.
It's true.
All right, guys. Titties.
Later.